You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Today, our partners at The New York Times are reporting that nearly all of the $350 billion bank bailout has been set aside, spoken for, and the shrinking pie, as well as ambiguity over which companies are eligible, has set off a lobbyist feeding frenzy. Mark Landler, who's covering the story for The New York Times, joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So what's going on here?
Well, it's a lobbying free-for-all, the likes of which Washington hasn't seen for a long time, which is prompted by a couple of things. One, the pot of money was enormous when it was first announced, which was enough to spark a lot of interest initially. But beyond that, there's increasing concern on the part of people who might be eligible or think they're eligible for the money that there actually is less of it than maybe they expected, insofar as a lot of it is already being committed. And they're down to the last $60 billion of the first installment of money they got.
And who is thinking that perhaps they may qualify when much of the discussion has been about bailing out the financial institutions that keep the economy moving?
Well, the twist is whether you consider yourself to be a financial institution. And it turns out that that definition is more elastic than many people may have expected at first. Initially, it applied to banks, savings and loans, and even insurance companies that either own banks or savings and loans, a category that probably numbered something like 8,000 institutions. But as the program got rolling, companies that had a more tenuous connection to banking but a real connection to the financial world began to think, you know, gee, maybe we qualify. In that category, you would put industrial lenders like GE Capital or GMAC, which is the financing arm of General Motors.
Mark, I've lent a lot of money to my brother. Do I qualify?
You'd have to reclassify yourself as a bank holding company, John. But, you know, someone said to me the other day, why doesn't Circuit City reclassify itself as a bank? And then maybe they can get bailed out, which sounds like a joke. But when you consider that General Motors and the other automakers would like to be included in the bailout package, it doesn't actually sound that far-fetched anymore.
It all sounds so simple, and I guess what I'm wondering is, given the discussion at the time of the bailout package, there was much said about oversight and transparency, and you're also injecting lobbyists now into this. Who is keeping track of what's happening, how the Treasury is making these decisions, and who's getting all the money?
Well, here's the other problem, which our story doesn't address specifically, but we probably will be thinking about in coming weeks, which is that the oversight for the program is not even fully installed yet. There's a special inspector general who's supposed to oversee the program. That person hasn't been named yet. There's a congressional oversight committee, not up and running fully. There's an internal oversight committee, which is working and meeting, but that consists of people like Treasury Secretary Paulson and the Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, who were the people involved in setting up the program. So the oversight, which under the congressional law is supposed to be quite elaborate, hasn't really taken effect. And as we, as you said at the beginning, a lot of the money has already been committed.
So the cart is moving before the horses.
Absolutely.
And do you anticipate that to change at all, given some of the reporting that the New York Times and other outlets have been doing to highlight some of these systematic problems that seem to be emerging?
Well, yes, I do. Senator Christopher Dodd said yesterday that he wants to hold hearings of the Senate Banking Committee to discuss how this money is being dispersed. Congressman Barney Frank, the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, also wants to hold oversight hearings later this month. So the key lawmakers that were involved in the creation of this are really sitting up and taking notice. Also, you'll have the new administration and the president-elect Barack Obama taking a very close look at the program and presumably making some decisions about things they'd like to tweak or change even more radically.
Mark Landler, as always, many thanks to you.
Thanks very much.
Mark Landler is a reporter for The New York Times, bringing us up to date on the bailout.
Well, as Mark has suggested, almost anything can happen when you have that much money at stake in Washington.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.